hard not to scream.
Because of the green Minotaur guy?
Well, a little bit.
She likes mostly the look just of the
Irish. I have a lot of pent up energy from work, and I just want to make stupid noises. But like, we want good quality stuff, and not just me fucking screaming into the microphone.
Well, listen, we don't know what the listeners want. So, listeners, if you just want like 35 seconds of her just randomly screaming noises, we could do that for you.
I have a whole language. It's a whole thing. My coworkers may listen at one point in time because I was like, I gotta go. I gotta be at my podcast. And they're like, what's your podcast? And I'm like,
she says, being very ashamed.
Well, I'm like, I can't just talk about Sims porn all the time if my coworkers are gonna listen.
Or, listen, yeah, you Sims don't know.
Porn. Like, come on.
Listen, apparently you don't know. Maybe that'll open up a whole new side of your coworkers that you didn't expect. Maybe become very good coworkers.
Very good coworkers. You know how much training I've watched on not doing things like that? Mm. Like all you of might the get invited training. To some.
You might get invited to some type of new Sims parties or something.
Apparently, there was a guy who used to work there who used to play Sims. And I'm like, oh, that would have been so cool. He would have been like my boss. Like, weird, but apparently plays it on the console, so he would have had no idea about the mods, because you don't mod on the consoles.
Well, anyway, we can start the show now. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Push My Buttons Games podcast, episode 54.
What's up?
We're here. It's me. It's
Luke. Is it 54? I've never really kept track of the numbers.
I have to.
At one point in time, I remember we were at 39. So yes. I know that we did that
was
one.
Roughly 20 episodes ago.
I believe when I joined it was 13.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're at 54 now. Introduce yourselves.
What Pat's order? Here. Because
Pat just jumped right in. She just screamed.
Yeah, me. I also tell people to call me Patricia, so Patricia is here.
Mm.
I don't like nicknames. I'm in a very weird mood. I am very sorry.
It's all good. That's my dog. Forgive my dog.
The dog just led a great segue into your intro.
Yeah, and this is Dungeon Master Mike. Hey, how's it going, everyone? I'm back. I've been dying from work. Let's talk about games. Let's do it.
Captain Platinum's also here.
Yes, the most resounding intro that we had, Captain Platinum, stating he was here.
Always.
So, later on in the show, we're going to talk about the new Pokemon game that we got announced.
Scarlet?
Yes, Violet. Scarlet and Violet. So we'll talk about that. We'll talk a little bit about Elden Ring. But let's talk about, so I have not played anything different than what I was playing last week. So I leave that up to you guys to fill in what we've been playing lately.
Oh, normally we do news first. Well, I've been out of it. So news? Yeah. News? Well, we can do that later. should I start with games? Because I really want to prove a point to Ryab. That I actually complete games.
Do it.
He makes fun of me that I don't, but I do.
Complete or beat games?
Okay.
Yes,
it depends on how you define complete. And because you're Captain Platinum, I definitely don't complete games. I do beat games. Right now, I've the past couple weeks I've been playing Control, which was like game of the year a couple of years ago. Pretty neat, nifty little game. It's like a mix between Inception and Men in Black. You play as this girl whose brother was kidnapped by like a government shadow organization that deals with the paranormal called the Federal Bureau of Control. but she is like a Dungeons and Dragons warlock. She's like possessed by a, like an entity that also gives her increased powers. And she ends up finding this government agency, and it's hiding in the middle of New York. Basically, it's a giant building, and if anyone looks at it, they just kind of forget that they saw it, and they just move on. Hi, Scout. Scout, he's excited that I'm explaining control. But because she's got powers, she can see it. And so she walks in, and that's the beginning of the game, and she finds the director dead. He shot himself in the head. And so she, this is not spoilers, this is the first 5 minutes of the game. She picks up his gun, and the gun kind of like marks her as the new director of this government agency. And all the pictures of the director change to her. And she's like, what just happened? And people that work there like talk to her without question. But they find she finds out that it is under assault by a, like another paranormal entity that possesses people and turns them into essentially like zombies. And she's trying to figure out where her brother is, how this whole thing started. And she's trying to decide if she likes this organization or not, this same organization that kidnapped her brother. And it's a pretty twisty game. Very Inception visuals. Lots of things that just seem kind of odd, like visually, but are just really well done. And it's a doozy. It's a doozy. My favorite scene is it comes in close to the end of the game without spoilers. There is this segment of the building that acts kind of like Super Mario 64. You know, when you go up the infinite stairs until you get enough stars.
Mm-hmm.
There's a segment in the building that basically just you walk into a room and the door changes, and you walk into another room, the door changes, and you can't get through this segment. And there comes a point where you have to get through it. And there has been this other, you don't know what this guy is. He just acts as the janitor, like kind of like the, oh, he's like, oh, you're the new assistant. Oh, yes. Here, come help me clean the mold over here in the vents. And you go to the vents and you find out it's just a ton of monsters that need to be culled. And he's like, you cleaned the mold. Thank you. I can go on vacation. And so anyway, this janitor dude kind of just like helps you along the way. You get the impression that he's like something else and he's just playing dumb. And he's Finnish, so he has like this heavy accent. And you hear his music that he plays over his cassette player, and it's like polka Germanic music. And you're just like, wow, this dude is hardcore European. And then he says, oh, you want to go through the maze, you need my cassette. And so you take his cassette player, and then right as you walk into that kind of maze area, she puts on the cassette player, and you're expecting to hear like Germanic polka music, but it turns out to be the old gods of Asgard, the band, and it's the song Take Control, and it's this like metal ballad music. And at this point in the game, you have a majority of your powers. And mm-hmm. So you just go through this massive, intensive battle of wave after wave after wave of enemies while you're listening to the old gods of Asgard. And you're just blowing shit up left and right. And she's like listening to this music. And she walks out. By the time you clear it, she was like, hot damn, that was really cool. And then there's like this note on the ground. And it's from a previous security guard. And it's a complaint filed against the janitor. And the note reads, this is supposed to be the highest classified area, and some fucking janitor just walks in. Who the hell is this guy? I want this guy fired. Stuff like that.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so it's a fun game. I have my complaints with it, but as far as the game itself, like it's not... it's definitely worth the time if you like linear, kind of paranormal, darker, strong female characters.
This sounds like a Pat game.
I think Pat would enjoy it. I think Pat would really enjoy it.
Yeah, I thought about playing that one for a long time. Because it's on Game Pass, right?
I believe so. I believe it's on Game Pass. It's definitely worth a shot. It's supposed to be like 15 hours. I've taken a little bit longer because I'm going through all the DLC. And my work schedule has not really allowed me to play like longer games. But yeah, I'm almost done. I'm about a quarter of the way through the final DLC. It's actually in the same vein as Alan Wake. It's in the same
universe. I love Alan Wake.
Yes.
Stephen King, the game.
Yes. Alan Wake is actually a prominent after image character in this game. He's not physically in it, but because she is a psychic, she gets images of Alan Wake talking, typing, and stuff. Apparently, I've never played Alan Wake, but apparently there is a huge callback to the Alan Wake game in the way of like a character from the game is also in control, but like transformed to a vicious monster. And there is, when you complete that DLC, there is a hint that there is that Control 2 is also going to be Alan Wake 2. Like they're going to be like the same game. So it is in the same world as Alan Wake. So if you liked Alan Wake, Control is definitely a game you should get into, because when you get into that DLC, there's references to Alan Wake in the normal game, but that DLC hits it hard. Like, this is Alan Wake, and you're talking to like an image of him, and this is in the same world. It's definitely worth it if you like Alan Wake, if you like strong female characters, if you like to feel powerful. It's a linear experience. It's not open ended. It's pretty good. It's pretty good.
It's awesome. Captain, what you been playing?
Basically, same as last week. I did some more Horizon Zero Dawn, been cleaning that up. I think I found almost all of the machines. Just, I haven't been able to beat the Big Bird yet, but I found the last one that's, it's 4 years, so I can do spoilers at this point, right?
Right.
It's the frickin' Tremors things. Those things were annoying as fudge.
Like, so you're playing Zero Dawn?
Yeah, the first one. I'm trying to finish that up.
Okay.
I haven't gotten to Forbidden West yet, so.
I really wanted to play, to replay it on like the hardest difficulty in preparation for Forbidden West. But I'm not quite sure if I want to do that.
Yeah. I still have like a decent ways to go. Other than that, I did a little bit more in Arceus as well, so I think I've got my next star level rank in that. I'm still like in that first area, though, so did a few hours of each game, and then I'm kind of like Mike, it's been busy work weeks, so.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been tough.
All right, and Pat, what have you been playing?
I have been playing nothing. I've played a little bit of Marvel Ultimate Alliance. You talking about it really made it fun again. So that, I haven't really had time for anything else. I'm sorry. I have no input. I'm not prepared.
Okay. All right. Okay. So now we can do some new things. This is specifically for you, Mike.
All right.
A couple weeks ago, we had the Gaming Awards show, DICE, which is basically the DICE Awards, which is the video game industry's Oscar equivalent.
Do they really mean anything, though?
So a bunch of games took home trophies, including Haze Light Studios' It Takes Two, which won its second Game of the Year award. But that was not the biggest news of the night. What happened was, so it started out with everyone's favorite oddly sexual executive producer, Todd Howard. He opened the night with a monologue about the turmoil and uncertainty in the world, in Ukraine, and he talked about Wordle and The Sims, and then he handed the stage over to Greg Miller and the co-host. I always screw her last name up. Is it Jessica Chobot? Or Chobot.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, after joking about Cyberpunk 2077 or 2077, Metroid Dread, and NFTs, Miller also said, "Fuck Bobby Kotick."
Yes! Right out there
in the middle of the awards. And it was crazy because especially since the Game Awards host, Jeff Keighley, I don't know how to pronounce his last name, was criticized for refusing to overtly name names in December.
That. Yes.
Yeah. They're like, just say his name. He said something like, "Leaders who fall short of basic standards must go."
Like him, and, like him, like how he failed to, fall, and, like he fell so, short of basically yeah. calling out someone.
Yeah. Okay, so, yeah. So Greg Miller stepped right the fuck up and told, said, "Fuck Bobby Kotick."
Man, I am so, I'm not going to get into it. Sorry, guys. Not this week.
All right.
Yes, well, that's nice. That's awesome.
Well, I thought you would be happy to see that someone called him out on basically the Oscars.
Yep.
Because of the way the world is currently, we have these next two news stories. EA stops sales in Russia. EA will no longer offer games, content, or virtual currency bundles in Russia or Belarus. So Electronic Arts joined a chorus of companies that will temporarily stop business in Russia after its invasion of Ukraine. They'll no longer sell content, games, virtual currency while the conflict continues. Their statement said, "We have made the decision to stop sales of our games and content, including virtual currency bundles, in Russia and Belarus while the conflict continues. As a result, our games and content will no longer be available for purchase in our Russian region storefront, on Origin or the EA app, including through in-game stores. We're also working with our platform partners to remove our titles from their stores and stop sales of new in-game content in the region." This is not the first action EA has taken around Russia in recent weeks. The company also removed Russian teams from its sports video games like FIFA 22 and NHL 22. And then along with that, Microsoft also stopped sales in Russia. They said, "We are announcing today that we will suspend all new sales of Microsoft products and services in Russia. In addition, we are coordinating closely and working in lockstep with governments of the United States and the European Union and the United Kingdom. And we are stopping many aspects of our businesses in Russia in compliance with governmental sanction decisions." Hmm. So lots of no video games there.
Well, part of me kind of wants to make fun of that. Like, great job, guys. You stopped the war with your video games.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, what else can they do? And
exactly.
It's something, you know, they're not being heartless like CEOs like they normally do. You know, it's what they can mm-hmm. do. They're putting their money where their mouth is. So that's nice to hear.
Right. That what if that's what ends the war? Everyone's like, whoa, Putin. We can't play FIFA. Stop it.
Hey, you know what? If Rocky could stop communism by winning a boxing match,
FIFA can end the Ukraine invasion.
This is bad. We shouldn't be joking about this.
Oh, but, man.
If you can, if I can change, and you can change, we all can change.
Yeah, I think it's, again, like, it's not gonna like stop anything, well, but it's also a good moral front, you know what I mean?
It's an added voice right. To the whole thing.
I'm interested to see if Sony's going to do anything though.
No, I don't know
at this point in time if game companies don't, like, what is that gonna be saying about them?
Yeah, I just don't, like, I think I don't know. I
like
really
this
don't
is the ultimate like peer pressure.
Yeah, it is. It's a good peer pressure tactic.
Yeah. So on some less depressing news. Anyone played Battlefield 2042?
I've heard Not so much bad stuff about that.
It is so bad. I was one that I was like, nope, I'm not going to play it. I'm not going to play it. I'm not going
to
play it.
I'm so interested to hear because...
And then I played it.
Okay. Before you get into this, I really want to know. So you aren't really the one to like get on the bandwagon of like shitting on something.
Oh, no.
You are not that person.
I like to like things.
You do. It's like... You can agree, and this is, I guess this comes from past arguments that you and I have had,
mm-hmm.
if you can call them, more like discussions.
Discussions, yeah.
But you personally, you enjoy enjoying things, and mm-hmm. if something isn't bad, you like recognize, okay, yeah, it's got faults, but it's still a game I'm enjoying playing at least for a few hours, right?
Right.
So... It is, it's very, very popular to hate 2042. Mm-hmm. So the fact that you just said you hate it gets me really excited to hear.
Okay, so any game that ditches any sort of single player or story mode is automatically a big check off of my list.
Okay.
I don't play multiplayer only games, but I was like, I'm gonna play this one. Because I had some other friends that wanted to play it. I'm like, let me get it. Let's you know, I'm going to give it a fair shake. I'm not just gonna hate on it. And I played the beta, and the beta wasn't great, but I was like, you know what? It's a beta, it's not supposed to be great, right? It's supposed to work all this stuff out. Literally nothing got worked out from the beta to the launch. So like there's this whole thing where they tell you about how big the maps are and how many players, and it's this big immersive battle. You spend 80% of your time in that game walking to find something, to find a tank, to find a motorcycle, to find your objective point, to find another person. So that's 80% of your match right there. It's just walking around.
How long do matches usually last in Battlefield?
Hours. Hours. Because they make it so you're supposed to have all these people, so they give you really high troop counts. And if you have a lot of people, yeah, it goes by quickly. But when there's not a lot of people playing and the maps are just too massive... And then it's just like sniper's paradise. Like you spawn and take a step and a sniper kills you. And it's like, oh, okay. But they also have like, cause in most shooters, there's your hitbox, right? Like where the controller points, and that's where you hit the person. The hitbox on this game was so incredibly small. I heard that they fixed it. To a point, but it's just so incredibly small that you can just, you're peppering this person and only one out of every 10 bullets is actually registering in the hitbox. And so you're just dumping bullets at these guys. So it's either you're a sniper and you aim right where the box is at, or you have the biggest machine gun with 9 million rounds of ammo and you just unleash it. And then the XP crawls. Because you can't do anything. You can't get objectives. You can't get kills. You can't get assists. You can't do anything because you die before you can do anything because you're just walking through a field. And then so you play these 2-hour games and you don't even gain a level at the beginning levels, right? You're supposed to fly through the first however many levels in these games, right? Just by playing it, you're supposed to level up. You're supposed to get things to kind of keep you hooked in the game. None of that happened. But the news story on it is that the DICE is reworking it to make the maps much smaller.
Okay.
And so they said DICE, this is DICE, the game company, not DICE, the people, not the DICE awards. Those are two separate things. Very confusing. It confused me for years. But yeah, so they said in a blog post that it has it's done some research, and it says it has discovered issues with travel, traversal, intensity, line of sight, paths, and cover in Battle 2042's map, which we said in the beta. Said the game maps are too large and the objective areas are too spread out. It takes players too long to move from their base to the nearest objective, leading to a lot of traversal time. And then they said, we've seen seen you use terms such as walking simulator to how it feels in the game. And that's it.
That's great.
And they said, we understand this isn't a satisfying experience and agree that there's too much overall travel time. And it's like, we have been saying this since the beta. Here it is, almost what, a year after launch, get closing in on it. It's about 6 months after launch,
right?
About 6 months after launch, and they're just now going, oh, we hear you. And I hate that in like blog posts or statements from gaming companies. We hear you. No, you don't.
That's a trigger phrase.
No, you don't. We hear you means we will give you something that touches one of the things that you guys are complaining about, but, you know, not the main thing.
Yeah, that's lame.
Yeah, and so it's like, I think right now it's like they have like 128 players per team. And it never fills the lobby. And then so now they're saying that they're going to go to like 64 players per team. And I'm like, oh, awesome. Sweet. But yeah, and I also was reading a thing that Battlefield 1, the World War 1 one that came out, Battlefield 4 and Battlefield 5 have more concurrent players right now than 2042.
I've heard that too.
No one's playing it. And yeah, so I honestly think it might be a free to play game by the end of the year. That's my prediction. It's going to be a free to play game. You can buy cosmetics.
Yeah, it'd be a way to go.
So I've heard a couple of things about it. I've heard that the tone clashes. Like, it doesn't seem they had a really good director. Because you get, I guess the introduction is very, like, Metal Gear style, war, destroyed everything. But then when you actually get to the end of a match, you get these people doing, like, joke quips, like, well, I'm the best player, like they, or something dumb like that, right? And there seems to be, like, a tonal clash. There is also weird, uneven damage distribution when it comes to weapons and stuff. Yep. Like, you can destroy a tank with like 5 bullets from your sniper rifle, but you can't destroy a tank with enough rockets from a rocket launcher.
Mm-hmm.
There was also things like, there was like a meeting at EA of kind of like the heads up, the upper management telling the team, like, hey, so we've done an analysis on why Battlefield 42 has failed. And one of the things they blamed it on was that Halo Infinite,
right?
Which, by the way, was a game that was ridiculed when it was revealed. And they said, hey, you know what? We're going to take your advice and we're going to work on it for another year.
Mm-hmm.
And they did that and it's gotten a lot better. And so they were like, oh yeah, this came out the same weekend as Halo Infinite, so that definitely hit sales. And it's like, no,
your game is broken.
Players will buy more than one game and they will dedicate their time to more than one game. But you're looking at like sales in the immediate day, right? Or that same weekend. And like, that's too much of like a marketing or like business or statistics viewpoint. Like your game was broken. That's why people didn't want to play it. And word of mouth goes by fast. And then they came out and said, we never blamed Halo Infinite. And there are recordings of them saying Halo Infinite.
But you did.
Yeah.
You literally did.
So that has pissed some people off.
And it's, again, I want the game to be good. Because I would like to play something. Because I used to be a big Battlefield like that. I played that over Call of Duty. Like all the time, but now it's just I can't play it, and I want another option other than Call of Duty. If I want to play a modern style first person shooter on the console, And it's really been just, there are like the Rainbow Sixes and stuff like that, but for the most part, it's been monopolized by those two franchises, Battlefield and Call of Duty. And it was always, I always enjoyed when Battlefield came out because A, it didn't come out every year. So then when it came out, it was like, oh, cool, new Battlefield. I'm going to play this for a while. It's just disappointing.
Yeah, that's too bad. I'm not a huge first-person shooter guy, but I feel like if I was to get into a multiplayer thing, Battlefield would be the one I would opt for.
Right, right. Not this one. Pat, I got some news for you too.
News?
Yes.
Resident Evil 2, 3, and 7 are getting an Xbox Series X and PS5 launches. It says ray tracing, advanced frame rate support, 4K resolution, and other cutting edge visuals are coming to Resident Evil 2, Resident Evil 3, and Resident Evil 7 in versions for the PS5 and the Series X that will launch later in 2022. It also said that players that have already bought any of the three, PS4 and Xbox One, will get an upgrade within the same console family for free, Capcom said. The PS5 version will make use of the DualSense controller's advanced haptic feedback. Furthermore, a patch bringing the same upgrades to PC will also be available free to owners of that game. Yeah. So, awesome. Some next gen Resident Evil for you.
I wonder. Okay, so I think I have.
You're extra quiet right now. Did you lean away from your microphone?
I think I did. Okay, so I don't. I have a Series S, so the ones that I owned for Xbox One, I wouldn't even be able to use.
Yeah, that does suck.
And I don't have a PS5 yet, so lame.
Get
that
on
doesn't
it.
Benefit me.
Are either of you two
Game Pass?
What was that?
It might come to Game Pass.
Yeah.
Are either of you two going to check out next gen Resident Evil games?
I might. I like Resident Evil, but not enough to kind of like really, really play it. I've tried the 3-hour challenge of Resident Evil 2, and I quit halfway through it.
What is the 3-hour challenge?
You try to beat all. So each Resident Evil has like a time trial challenge to get kind of like the ultimate weapon or whatever. And for Resident Evil 2, if you wanted the rocket launcher or I think like the minigun, you had to beat the entire game in less than 3 hours. You had to save the game only a maximum of 3 times. So you essentially had to speed run the game. And I was following like a step-by-step tutorial of like, okay, this is what you're going to do. Come in here, do this. And then he would pause and say, like, if the situation turns out like this, you might as well just restart it. I know you've been working at this for 15 minutes, but this is a 3-hour challenge. You're better off just restarting. Like, so like an actual like guide of doing it. And I got like halfway through it and it was really hard. I play Resident Evil once, maybe twice, and then I'm done with it.
What about you, Captain? You play it?
I play some of the Resident Evils. I played through 7 recently, and I need to go back and maybe try to platinum it. I don't know if I'm going to, though. It's there's so much to play, and it's at least, I think I need 3 playthroughs to get through it. So, so it just depends. Resident Evil 5 and 6 have been a game one of my buddies, and I can just play and pick up and just, you know, we have like usually all the good weapons, so it makes it more fun after like our first playthrough.
Okay. So this is some news that I found that I thought was pretty cool and neat to see back again. So the Tokyo Game Show in 2022 will be in person. There will still be an online component for fans to enjoy from home, but the Tokyo Game Show will be in person. The event organizers announced Monday this week. It will run the 15th to the 18th in Chiba, Japan. And the theme for this year's show is Nothing Stops Gaming. The event will be held by Computer Entertainment Suppliers Association in cooperation with like four other business things, four other businesses. And they said over these 2 years, various fun events disappeared from our daily life, but games still lightened up our days. Games will continue to brighten up the days of everybody now and forever. This year's theme implies such strong determination. I like the idea of getting back to the conventions like that, especially like Tokyo Game Show. Cause that's, we usually don't get like, say at E3 and stuff like that. We don't get those like really deep dives into like JRPGs and stuff like that. Most of that stuff comes from the Tokyo Game Show. And I'm like having, you know, 2 years now of not getting that information has really like hampered my purchasing of some of those JRPGs because I just don't know anything about them. But yeah, what do you guys think about that?
Yeah, I'm always for getting the conventions back. It was nice doing the FanX last year, you know, just actually seeing people, being out and, you know, seeing the people that you would see at those and just talking with people in person about the stuff we love, right?
Mm-hmm. And it's not like they're just completely disregarding safety stuff. They also said that there will be still some changes in accordance with the local COVID-19 governances. There'll be a limit of number of tickets sold, and elementary school age children and younger will not be allowed to attend due to uncertainties of vaccination statuses among young people. So they are still.
There's a board game convention going on this weekend.
There's a what?
There's a board game convention going on this weekend that I was surprised was actually still happening. It's happening in Layton, I guess.
Yeah. Speaking of conventions, I have another convention thing for you, Mike.
What's up?
Nintendo won't allow Super Smash Brothers at EVO 2022.
Whoa!
Yes.
Why?
The Sony-owned fighting game event said it is saddened to lose Smash Brothers from its lineup. The Smash Brothers won't be a feature at EVO 2022, the biggest fighting game event of every year. The Sony-owned esports organization announced the loss of the platform fighter in a statement on Twitter today and appeared to blame the decision on Nintendo, which has historically tried to tightly control how its games are featured in the wild. After revealing the full lineup of games that will be played at EVO 2022, would be announced by a live stream on March 8th on Twitch. The organization preempted questions about Smash Brothers by saying upfront that it wouldn't be included. They said, "We want to let you know in advance that Super Smash Brothers will not be making a return appearance." And it's been there since 2007. They said, "We've seen historic Smash Brothers moments created at EVO events, and we are saddened that Nintendo has chose not to continue that legacy with us this year."
So what that is, okay, so here's the thing about EVO, right? Officially, it will not be there, but it's still going to be there. Because for those people who, so personally, I've never been at EVO, but I know the event fairly well for never having been there. I have friends that go there. And there are, so you have the official EVO, but you've also got like several other tournaments that happen at the same time within a block, because people will come in and EVO isn't hosting their favorite game and they will have a tournament like in a hotel room or something. So one of the more famous games to have ever hit EVO was Super Smash Brothers Melee. And it still is. So people will bring their GameCubes and hook it up to like CCTVs because that's the best way to like get, avoid frame delays and stuff. If they're willing to bring Super Smash Brothers Melee and have it like work and fit, people are still going to bring Super Smash Brothers unofficially. It's just that the tournament organizers can't sanction it. But it'll still be there. But holy crap, Nintendo! Like
right.
Like what's your end game? Why?
Nintendo gonna Nintendo, man.
Like they make these decisions, and, frequently, mm-hmm. and it does not make any sense at all. It's almost like they kind of want to create like an exclusive experience, like as if they're Disney. They've done that with Mother 3. They've done that with like game releases that people have wanted. They've done that with like killing off emulators or storefronts, which eliminates the possibility to play like even some of their more famous games. No one can play it legally, and no one can really find it like on it. Like they just make these weird decisions.
Mm-hmm. So the common denominator in all those is Nintendo usually does this before they're going to do the exact same thing, but make it exclusively Nintendo. Like shutting the emulators down and going after all these sites that have been up for years and years and years and years. And then all of a sudden, Nintendo Switch Online with the NES comes on and Super Nintendo comes on.
And there's always the caveat that it's never as good.
They're like, we're going to do it and we're going to make money off of it. So I would not doubt if they have and I know they have it in Japan. There is the Smash Brothers tournament, but I would not doubt to see a revamped US North American Smash Brothers only tournament to try and rival Evo. But I do have a question. Because they haven't announced the games yet, but if you take Smash Brothers out, Mike, what game would you put in?
King of Fighters 15 has just come out. I would throw that in. It would depend on the netcode. Skullgirls has been a frequent love of the fighting games, but there was... So I feel really odd with Skullgirls, because Skullgirls mechanically is a great game, and it's animated beautifully. The concept is that you play all these girls, and a lot of them are animated like super sexy like, and not all of them are, but most of them are. And then you find out that the guy who created the game was like a sex offender. And it was just like, oh, I don't feel comfortable playing this game anymore.
Right.
For a while, it disappeared from Evo. And I think that may be coming back on. I think also Persona 4 Ultimate Arena, it may come back.
Do they do the Dead or Alive games at Evo?
No, they don't.
Because I saw there was one that came out in like 2019, 2020, something like that.
The problem with Dead or Alive, if I remember correctly, is it's way too much DLC for it to even be viable. Mm. If you were to bring, let's say, Guilty Gear, you would need to have a game or a copy of the game or a system brought in that has just a season pass purchase, right? An extra $35. They can do that with half of a ticket. So there's that, but with Dead or Alive, the last one I remember, it was like each character was something like $3 to $5. And there's like so many characters that are locked behind paywalls individually. It very nickel and dimes you.
Okay.
Another thing about Evo is that there are different tiers of accessibility when it comes to their games. They have kind of like their core games that are tournaments, and then still of Evo official sanctioned but not like the main events, they'll have a lot more other games. And then you have kind of like the third tier of people kind of hosting their own tournaments adjacent to Evo at the same time. So I would probably put in King of Fighters 15. That just came in, that was just announced. And then Persona 4 Ultimate Arena is a remastered game with classic netcode, so that will be coming out soon. I think they'll throw that in.
Who was that YouTuber that we used to send videos back and forth of the Evo guy, where he was acting like he was the different games at Evo?
I don't remember. Mighty Keef.
Yes.
That dude is funny.
I want to see what his next video with no Smash Brothers is going to be like.
Yeah, there was one where he, it was, oh, I forget. It was a game that got kicked out.
Yeah.
Of Evo.
For Dragon Ball.
Yeah, and Dragon Ball FighterZ came in and replaced it. And it's like, I forget the game that got kicked out.
Was
what
it?
A, was it?
Oh, it was, my goodness. It wasn't like a Street Fighter, was it?
No, it wasn't Street Fighter. It was, Marvel versus Capcom.
Oh, that's right. That's right. That's right.
Yeah, the latest mm-hmm. one. And he's like, guys, he comes in and he's got like the label underneath him. And he's like, how's it going? We're going to get this Evo party started. And then like all the other games are looking at him and being like, you're not invited to this, man. He's like, what? Who are you replacing me with? And then like Dragon Ball FighterZ comes in with pizza. And he's like, hey, guys, him? Yeah. So
oh,
it's,
man.
Yeah. So, I really want to see what Nintendo is going to do with this.
Mild Dragon Ball tangent before we talk about Elden Ring and Pokemon. They showed another full length trailer for the superhero movie.
Oh, man.
That's coming out. The name is still terrible. And the animation, as I've watched more of it, has become less jarring. But the thing today, I believe the Twitter post from one of the I can't remember if it was a producer or a director tweeted out a picture of it was Gohan and Piccolo fighting the one and two, and he confirms two things: that it is going to be more Gohan and Piccolo centric than Vegeta and Goku.
I don't mind that. That's good.
Broly is in it. Broly, all the people from the Broly movie, they're all in it. And they confirm that Piccolo is getting a awoken or potential unleashed form, a new form in the movie, which I have been screaming for since when was Cell originally aired?
In the 80s, dude.
So since then. And they show like he does in the trailer, he does a little flash where he like it's his clothes change color. And I was joking before this came out with someone that I was like, yeah, he probably just changed his clothes colors. And they were like, Piccolo, that's not a transformation. He's like, well, shut up. I don't have hair that can change color. So I changed my pants. All right.
Change my pants.
I'm trying to pull up the image to send to you guys so you guys can see what I'm talking about. I know it's great audio, but
I'm cautiously scared. Like, I really want to enjoy that movie. I'm looking forward to Dragon Ball The Breakers. That's one I want to play like often.
Mm.
That's the one where like Frieza you're hiding from Frieza, Cell, and Majin Buu are like a major villain, but you're like normal people. So mm-hmm. it's kind of like, what's the horror game? Dead by Daylight?
Or the Hello Neighbor?
People play as horror icons and you like run away from them.
It's kind of
like that, except you're just normal people. Like you're the pig or you're like a random human and you're trying to escape from Frieza and Cell.
So I just posted the picture and you can see a little, his little skin tone change, his clothes change a little bit, but sorry for the Dragon Ball tangent, but it sucks that the animation isn't my favorite because I'm like, of course they're going to do the story that I'm going to be the most invested in the style that I like the least.
These two characters really needed a power upgrade.
I believe Aaron from Game Grumps posted, oh, look, Gohan dressing like his real dad again. which was awesome. But yeah, the trailer's out there. They don't have an English dub trailer of it, but they do have the subtitled one now, so you can see what's going on. But I'm excited. I'm excited for it. I hope all of my inner child dreams come true. But also we all know Goku will eventually save the day. Because yeah. that's exactly what happens in every Dragon Ball anything. Mm-hmm. But yeah. Okay. I have some Elden Ring.
Oh man, Mike, Elden Ring.
Did you know that Elden Ring shattered Dark Souls record on Twitch and Steam?
I didn't know that.
Shortly after its midnight launch, Elden Ring was already the most played game on Valve's storefront with over 760,000 concurrent players. That dwarfs the player count for prior From Software games, including Dark Souls Remastered, Dark Souls 2, Sekiro. Yeah, because they said before the record had topped out at 129,000 concurrent players. So it way more. But also it had been, you know, killing it on Twitch with 910,000 peak concurrent viewers. It's almost four times the previous peak for Dark Souls 3 and Sekiro. And it is the second highest peak behind Grand Theft Auto 5's all-time peak of 1.14 million. So when is Mike going to disappear from the land that we know and reappear in the world of Elden Ring?
So I'm going to finish Control, and I will probably finish that tonight or tomorrow. Just like I have a couple more hours, and then before I get into Elden Ring, I have made myself promise that I'm going to finish another game that has been on my to-play list for a couple years. So Doom Eternal is next in line, and that is waiting on my machine, waiting to be played. This isn't also like including Tales of the Sky that I've talked to Jamie about. I haven't resumed picking that up yet, which I intend to. Like, this isn't including all the other games I have put down that Uncanny Riot makes fun of me about. Like, I want to complete two games that have been on my to-play list before I even begin a new one.
Oh, he got under your skin, boy.
He did! Uncanny Riot did. Well, because I have never looked at myself as a person who, like, dropped games until he mentioned it. And then I was like, yeah, I guess I do. Because when I was a kid, I would complete every game I got a hold of. But it had to do with the fact that, you know, money was hard to come by as a kid, and games were super expensive. And if I bought a game, it would be a long time before I could get another one. So I play that thing. But between me having a disposable income and then also having less time, it's very easy for me to be like, drop this one. I want to experience this game. And I haven't really had time to like get into my backlog. Mm-hmm. Control has been in my backlog since it came out. Doom Eternal snuck into my Steam account. I don't know how it got there. I don't remember purchasing it. I do not remember purchasing Doom Eternal. Yeah. Well, Control 2, I was like, I have Control. I have the Ultimate Edition. I don't remember buying this one. There's a lot of games on my Steam account I do not remember getting. And I was like, okay, that's on my to-play list. And that is like, oh, that's pretty bad, I guess. So once I complete Doom Eternal, I don't know if I want to, how far I want to complete it. If I want to just simply beat the game or complete it. But then I'll get into Elden Ring. And that's when I will disappear.
Mike will be absent from the podcast for five months.
Sorry, I'm playing Elden Ring.
Comes back looking like Gandalf.
Oh, yeah. I kind of put Elden Ring off in the back of my mind. I didn't quite know what it was, and everyone was hyped up, but it was one like the marketing before it came out. Like, we've known about it for what, like a year,
right?
Or like a year and a half.
Mm-hmm.
And all we knew was that it was a Souls-like game. George R. Martin was writing a part of it, and it was coming out, and everyone flipped out. I had no idea it was open world until last week. And I had no idea about like the detail of the open world, because I didn't want to associate Elder. I don't like fanboying after games I know nothing about, because that's how Cyberpunk kind of stabbed me in the back. Which, by the way, Cyberpunk has been addressed, and it's had several patches, like 50 gigs worth of patches on it. And people are saying, like, hey, it's actually like a fun game now. So I will get back to Cyberpunk eventually, but it's kind of burnt that bridge there. But like, I've gotten so excited for games that weren't even out that we knew nothing about, only to be like, kind of like, have you experienced that before? You're so looking forward to like an experience and it just turns out to be shit. So I didn't even bother with Elden Ring. What was that, Pat?
You get super mad at yourself.
Yeah, it's like,
why did I put so much energy in this?
South Park did that with Stick of Truth. Right before South Park came out, they Cartman makes a comment because they were doing the Game of Thrones episodes. And Cartman makes a comment about like, dude, why are you pre-ordering? You're just, what exactly does he say? It's like, you're just throwing money at something that some guy in Santa Monica hasn't even finished yet. And then like for the commercials of that episode, it was like, pre-order Stick of Truth. So, he's like, you're just paying money to some asshole in Santa Monica who hasn't even made the game yet.
Yep.
So yeah, I Elden Ring is like, it's all news to me. I had no idea what it was, and now that I know, like, I'm salivating because it's exactly my type of game. It's everything. It's Souls. It's going to be difficult. I really loved the middle of Breath of the Wild. I didn't like the end of Breath of the Wild. I felt like Breath of the Wild was a great game, but not a good Zelda game. So I know that comparing this to Breath of the Wild is kind of the bad thing to do. But they said that the open worldness resembles that of Breath of the Wild. And that makes me really excited. People are saying like entire maps get revealed and you're just like, holy crap, is this world just like never ending? So I'm really excited to get into it.
Yeah. And this is one of those things that I won't play this game. It's not a me game, but I will experience it vicariously through you.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm also wondering if I want to play Kakarot first before I get into this game.
Kakarot is fun. But the hardest part for me with Kakarot is the controls are completely different from Xenoverse. But the fighting style and the open world flying is not dissimilar. That I'm like, wait, hold on. that's not how you do that. Yeah, it's gets me flustered sometimes. Last thing we're going to talk about is the Pokemon Company announced Pokemon Scarlet and Pokemon Violet during Pokemon Day on Sunday. And I have the three new starters and their stats or their I guess the official release on them. So the three new Pokemon are Sprigatito. Is that how you would say that? Is a capricious, attention-seeking grass cat Pokemon. And then we have Fucoco, a laid-back fire croc Pokemon that does things at its own pace, and Quaxly, an earnest and tidy duckling Pokemon.
Did you hear her hyperventilating? Yes,
just
in the back
hyperventilating.
The names make them sound so much cuter.
She's gonna buy Scarlet and Violet so she can pick the grass in one and then the duck in the other one.
Yes.
So I'm gonna
need a second Switch. That's all there is to it.
So, Sprigatito. I still don't know how to say this. Yes, that one, Michael, is a grass cat type Pokemon. Its height is 1 foot 4 inches, and it weighs 9 pounds. And its ability is Overthrow or Overgrow, and Fucoco. is a Firecrock. You're making this very hard to read this. is a Firecrock Pokemon, and its ability is Blaze or Fire Blaze. It is 1 feet, 4 inches tall and weighs 21.6 pounds. And then Quaxly is the duckling Pokemon at 1 feet, 8 inches and weighs 13.4 pounds. And its ability is Torrent. So what did you guys think of the game announcement, what we saw, and the starters?
I think this, I mean, I always like Pokemon, even though it never changes. I always like it, and I think the starters are great. I'm not a huge like cat person, but I think I would probably go with the grass. Although the croc seems pretty fun, I would probably go for the croc. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting designs. I sent this to you guys on Sunday. I don't know which one I would go with. I like the pictures of the duck, though. He's kind of fun.
Donald, too.
Yep. Or is it Dewey?
Yeah, Dewey, most likely.
None of them are real ducks. They don't real duck walk.
that's right what defines a duck, the duck walk.
I live with ducks. I should know.
All right, so you can only choose one. What are you choosing? What was that?
All of the above.
Nope, that's not an answer.
Okay. So it kind of depends on what they become, because the meme that you guys sent earlier was pretty hilarious. The cat doesn't stay on all four paws, I'm not going to be into it. Like, if he becomes a human fucking cat that's a wrestler, I'm not going to be into it. And a side note, my cat is really overweight. Like, 9 pounds is normal cat size. My cat's 20 fucking pounds.
Normal poke cat weight.
I don't know. I'd love the duck and I love the cat so much, but the dinosaur is kind of... I love them all so much. I don't think I've loved all three starters in a long time. Like, probably the last time I loved all three starters so much was the last time they did a crocodile.
I thought she was going to say it was Arceus because it has all of the best starters.
See, and I don't...
Sir, Bulbasaur is not in there, so...
I mean, don't get me wrong, Cyndaquil is one of my favorites. But I mean, I like Rowlet, but he's not a favorite. And obviously Piplup he's fun, but he's also not a favorite. I also didn't like those generations very much in general. So the last time I really loved all three and was really struggling with who I was going to pick was Gen 2. And I'm feeling like this is how it's going to be now. It's basically the same thing, but instead of a little ferret thing, they have a cat. And then instead of a dinosaur, they have a duck. And I'm like way into it.
I think I'm gonna be on team Quaxly.
Team Quaxly.
Yep.
I think I will do the dinosaur thing. They're probably gonna fuck up the cat. I'm gonna be disappointed in the cat. Like, I really liked Lynn because I'm like, oh my god, it's a baby Loki. But then he becomes weird meat man, and I don't know how I feel about that.
Weird meat man. So as we talked about last week, I think this is the Pokemon game that I wanted, not Arceus. I'm not having the best time with Arceus, but this one looks more like it's the next, you know, sequel in the main line, and I think I'm going to like that.
Well, and this is the next sequel in the main line, so yeah. It makes sense.
Yeah,
I am worried about that. I am worried about that because they show the open areas again.
Uh-huh.
Just seems like they just made more open areas, but it's not a fully open game again, so you didn't have your sections.
See, I feel like the openness of Sword and Shield was perfect for me because there were the giant open areas, and this looks, if it's just that but bigger, that's what I wanted in Arceus. But again, we talked about it before. It's more of the mechanic stuff and Arceus that I'm not mechanics and exposition that I'm not into. But yeah, we'll see. We have a little bit till this one comes out, but I'm excited. I'm still excited to play it.
Yeah.
Are you guys worried they're putting out too many Pokemon games back to back to back to back?
No.
If they don't fuck me over like they did with freaking Pearl and Diamond remake, then no. But they probably will. They'll release another shit 50 steps backwards.
Wait. So I missed something. I thought you were really into BDSM.
Oh, I really am into BDSM. Don't get me wrong. But that's just simply because that's one of the generations I really enjoyed. But I was seriously disappointed that I feel like I'm playing a freaking DS game. I feel like I'm playing a Game Boy Advance game, which I'm fine with, but I might as well just play those games instead of playing this wannabe remake that was, I don't know, it was dumb. They're like, yeah, we're gonna make them chibi people again, and I'm like, you made them watermelons with fucking legs.
You know, I've heard a theory, and this comes from a Pokemon fan, alright? I've heard a theory that Game Freak is the worst game studio ever. And the reason being is because Pokemon is the most successful franchise in history. It has brought in the most money. It has beaten out franchises like Harry Potter. It's the most successful franchise ever. Mm-hmm. And they have the most revenue to spend on experiments and finding out things that work. And they do the same thing over and over and over again. And when they do branch out, it has kind of horrible looking visuals or graphics or mechanics or things like that. And so I've heard someone make the theory that, like, as a Pokemon fan, Game Freak is the worst game studio ever. Like, in terms of skill. But I don't know.
Well, all right, guys, that's all I had for the show this week. You guys have anything else before we wrap this up?
We're just going to end on that thought, huh? Mm-hmm. Game Freak is the worst game studio in the world, yeah. And we're not going to, like, comment about that. We're not going to
we're going to let that just sit and stew for a whole week.
Sure, okay, guys.
I want to say one thing about that. It's not like they don't have a ton of emulated versions out there that have done well.
That's
that
true.
They could just steal a couple ideas. Like, Sims fucking does it all the time. These modders make shit all the time, and Sims is like, we like that. We're gonna steal it. And then they fucking add it in-game, and everybody's like, yes!
Have you played that Pokemon game I sent you a while ago, Panda Pat?
No. Keep forgetting. Okay. I'm sorry.
You should do it. You should do it.
Okay.
Anyway, we can end with that.
All right. Anyone have anything else to plug, or we just good?
I think I'm good.
Don't you need to plug the GNN?
Yes.
I talked GNN. About that today. I was asked a question about my podcast and didn't have an answer, and then I was like, we're part of this thing. I think it's called GNN.
Yes, it is GNN. It's Geek News Network. It's where you'll find our posts for this show. You'll also see the posts for the recently rejuvenated Nerd Dome podcast, which is the first podcast I started. And there's Kiss My Frenchies Goodbye over there. Chelsea and Noel Go to Hell. There's some good stuff. Good
Chelsea
stuff over there.
And Noel Go to Hell is kind of like my ear candy at the moment. They do an awesome job.
Yeah. They work very hard on those episodes, but they're very entertaining. But yeah, that's it. That's what I got. Awesome.
Cool. I gotta go finish Control.
Hey Mike, you should go game harder.
Oh, I will.
So hard.
Harder.
So hard.
Bye, guys.
It's hard.
Oh my.